Imagine, if you will, that you needed to buy a new car. You perhaps need a truck to carry your stuff to work, or a van or bus to haul your children in. And you even find the right car in the right color. What is it worth to you? Well, we can speak about its worth on two levels, both objective and subjective. Objectively, you would want to know, okay, well, what did it cost to make it? What are you selling it for? And what's the best price I can get? But if it's the perfect car for you, subjectively, it might be worth more. Our tendency, especially as Americans, is to always question both the objective and the subjective worth of something. And we always want a good value. But can we apply this same way of thinking to our salvation? What is salvation worth to us? Like the car, our tendency is to want to measure the cost. And we think, well, if I do these things, if I go to church or pray the rosary, or if I'm able to quote scripture, chapter and verse, well, then I can purchase salvation. We often tend to take this same mentality about the worth of something into our faith and our religion. One of my favorite worship songs is entitled, "Here I Am to Worship." You'll hear it tonight at our praise and worship session. And the refrain says this: "I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross." You see, when Jesus died on that cross, he took every sin, every pain, every loss, every despair, all the fear that we feel, and all the effects of our sin. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Isaiah 53, which says this: "Yet it was our sickness that he carried. It was our diseases that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, had strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." So what does salvation cost? What is its worth? On one level, we will never know. It is the pearl of great price. It is a treasure that is beyond worth. And yet, what does it require of us? What can we do to purchase it? In some sense, nothing. We are instead invited into a relationship with Jesus that allows that salvation to become ours. In other words, the purchase price for salvation is simply a relationship with God. But as you know, relationships, good relationships, do require something of ourselves to be given to another. If you're a parent, you know this. Whether it's getting up in the middle of the night to take care of a baby, it's staying up late, worrying about your teenager, waiting for them to come in. If you're even a married person, you know that sacrifice is giving of yourself to your spouse. And the same is true of our relationship with Jesus, that we must make a gift of ourselves. This gift of self is characterized in our gospel today by three things. Number one, we must be willing to renounce both good and evil in this world in favor of the surpassing good of the next. Now, most of you say, okay, I understand renouncing evil. Titus 2:12 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways." No matter what your upbringing, whether you were brought up a staunch Catholic or if you never went to church in your life, we all have instilled in us this basic desire to do good and avoid evil. So we all understand that. But a relationship with Jesus asks us to go one step further. And that is to even renounce the good in this world in favor of the good in the next. Fasting, for example. Giving up our possessions, especially those most dear to our hearts. Remember what Scripture says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and still be attached to the things of this world. Secondly, we must be willing to carry our cross. Now, why do we have to carry a cross? Didn't Jesus do it for us? Well, yes, Jesus took upon himself all the eternal punishment due to us by our sins. But when we enter into that relationship with Jesus, we're invited to share in just a little bit in what he went through. Why? Because you guys know this. When you share with somebody suffering, you find intimacy with them, don't you? Whether it's watching your kid suffer through something or your spouse, even just a friend who's sick and sitting with them for an extended period of time, you build a relationship around that. And Jesus uses that in this life to build his relationship with us. You may remember the story of St. Catherine. She was complaining to God about the weight of her cross. And so Jesus said, well, why don't you come into this room and lay down your cross and I'll get you a new one. And so she put down her cross and there was this room full of crosses, various shapes and sizes, some rough, some smooth, some big, some small. And she perused them all, trying to find the right one. And she knew she couldn't just get too small a one. She was capable of more than that. She also would feel, you know, maybe embarrassed by having too small a cross. And yet some of them seemed impossible to carry. And so she went around the room and finally she found a cross that she thought, you know what, this is the perfect size. Not too big, not too small, not too rough, not too smooth. And she walks out with it and Jesus, you can just see him shaking his head at her. He says, well, you came out with the same cross you came in with. You see, God designs our cross specifically for us. And though many times it can seem overwhelming, that cross is oriented towards a relationship with Jesus. Do you remember that scene in the Passion of the Christ when Jesus falls and through the corridor, Mary can see him and their eyes meet? That's the beauty of the relationship that we can develop with Jesus when we're willing to carry our cross with him. Now, lastly, this relationship with Jesus is characterized by a plan for the future. It's not stuck in the moment, but looking ahead. It's odd in our gospel today because Jesus starts out talking about how we have to hate our mother and father. Kids, don't misinterpret that. It's the willingness to renounce them for the sake of the gospel. But then he launches into these two little stories. One about building a tower and one about a war. And what do those have to do with anything? Well, because if we want to be part of the kingdom, if we want to be his disciple, if we want to have that relationship with Jesus, it means planning for the future. Just like a guy who's going to build something makes sure he has all the materials, has the money to do it. Just like a guy who's going to war, making sure that, well, he doesn't show up with half an army and just lose and, you know, blunder the whole thing. So too, we must prepare for the kingdom of God. It would be foolish for us to not be storing up for ourselves those things that we need to build God's kingdom. Objectively, brothers and sisters, Salvation costs more than we will ever know. It is an infinite debt paid for us. Subjectively, our salvation requires, it asks of us, it invites us to a relationship with the one who did suffer for us. It invites us to renounce those things that get in the way. What's getting in the way for you? It invites us to be willing to carry a cross perfectly made for us. And it invites us to plan each day of our life for eternity in heaven.